Auf Apple Music hörst du die neueste Musik. Und das ganz ohne Werbung. Entdecke über 45 Millionen Songs sowie die neue Single der Fantastischen Vier.
Wir sind zusammen groß, wir sind zusammen alt.
Apple Music. Jetzt 6 Monate kostenlos testen im besten Netz der Telekom. Mehr Infos unter telekom.de/applemusic.
Don't try to run, don't try to hide. You're stealing your time without thinking twice.
What's Up Fool Podcast. Welcome to the What's Up Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza, Rodrigo Torres,
and Lisa Esparza.
Yes, right. What's up, fool? Man, it's welcome cracking, back man. To our podcast. We had an awesome week. We traveled the world and got back, doing it up, watching a lot of television. Oh man, we went through the episode, the whole season of College Friends.
Friends from college?
Friends was from college.
That shit's badass.
With Jordan Peele and Fred Savage.
No, it's Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, he has a crazy name, huh?
Keegan-Michael Key. Jordan Peele's the other guy.
The other fool from Get Out.
The chubbier.
There you go.
hey, fool, how about the first time we started watching those videos, dog? Those little snippets.
Which ones?
Remember that one famous
Jordan Peele and...
That Key and Peele?
Keegan Peele?
Yeah. Well, no, we watched that the first time ever. You showed me that video of those fools in the airplane when they did that sketch, fool.
Yeah.
The guy that wants to go to the restroom and all that shit.
What's the name of the show again?
Key and Peele.
What was
Key
that?
And Peele,
he's
yeah.
Key. Peele is the guy that did Get Out.
What was his first name?
Keegan Michael Key.
There's a dash in that name, right?
Yeah. Somebody messed around.
Because I know he's adopted, right?
Yeah, I think he's.
But anyways. Adopted? Yeah, fuck all that. What's up with the show, dog?
The show's funny, dude. The show is like 30-something.
You guys have to watch it, man.
What, man? How about us, man? Like,
tell me.
Like, I put on my headphones, man. I don't understand, man, where these people get that magic skin they think they have. Like the main actress, she said, she bought herself that. I bought myself a 40th birthday present. 40?
Yeah, yeah, that
you know, older. Everybody that looks older.
That woman's skinny one? Gotta be older than 40.
She's probably pushing 50. She's like 48, maybe, right?
She's gotta be older than me.
Yeah,
she has to be.
This is the one that I'm not
that far from 50.
The one the you're talking about the skinny one.
Skinny, the one he's having an affair with.
What's her?
Her name is
Middle Eastern of sorts, right? Like she has that. No,
maybe Italian.
But anyways, yeah, there you go. But yeah, she does look a little. Look a little accordion, dog. Baby accordion.
That's so what about her?
What's accordion?
You know when your skin goes...
Wrinkly?
Wrinkly.
Your skin will too.
Oh, yeah. It all does. It's cool.
My teacher...
I ain't tripping.
Speaking of accordion, fish skin, right?
Yeah, you always call it fish skin.
You call it old-ass fool
fish skin. I had a teacher, man, in third grade, Miss Flannoy.
Damn.
And she was... funny, I was thinking back about... Growing up, you know, we met a lot of, I met some people at the show who were teachers, and they were telling me, and then, when I was taping at the end Boyle Heights, some girl I was talking to, she's a fan, she told me she's a teacher. Then I started thinking about it. Growing up, I had no Latino teachers, not one in my neighborhood. They were all white or black or Asian.
What about the one who did the Run to the Hills?
Mr. Root?
Oh, he wasn't. What was he?
I don't know, man.
Native American.
If he was Chicano, he must have changed.
He gave a lot of speeches about Chicano.
Yeah, I don't know if he was Mexican American, but his last name was Root.
Maybe
like Peruvian or some shit. He didn't want anybody to know, huh?
He never said he was Mexican, though, but he was probably Latino.
He was down for the cause.
He was down, bro. he said he was at Fort Dead in Ohio.
He was at Kent State.
He was at Kent State when that happened.
I mean, at Kent.
Dude, that one must have been old then. That shit happened in 68, right? Kent State?
Yeah, same time
Mexico City happened.
What am I, Dinosaur Jr.? Anyway, so no, bro. Growing up, all my teachers, I could name them all. They were all white.
Uh-huh.
1970.
Yeah, so I guess he was teaching 16 years when I met him, 15 years. teaching U.S. history, mm-hmm. his story. But yeah, I would know we're all you had like Chicano or Mexican teachers.
Yeah, dude, my first principal was Mr. Mejia. He had a PhD, and then my third grade teacher who I clashed with a lot, Miss Garcia. Dog,
me and this person, I guess we're talking right, but that's the thing about no. There was teachers in my second street that were Latino Mexican, but then I get my teacher, Mr. Cordero. He was Portuguese.
There you go.
He was funny as hell, dog. He was a great teacher.
What do you say?
That's the problem about the unified district or any district. When you have a great teacher, they make him a principal.
Oh yeah, man.
And then he has to call shots, but nobody follows his rules. He was better. He was better as a teacher, bro.
Everybody thought he was a joker, or
but,
what?
But they always take the. How come they do that? Take all the good teachers to make them office people.
Well, they're administrators.
They don't take them. The people, those teachers want to move up.
Yeah, and then those old fools leave when they were young, you know?
Because the pay's better, and that's why they keep going. That one woman that was at Isaac's Charter School, she started as his third grade teacher. The next year, she was assistant principal. She kept taking seminars and, like, classes and certifications and stuff all summer. And then I think she's running another school somewhere now. Like, that's what she wanted. She was very aggressive about it. But they want to get out of that classroom.
There's mad money in the administration positions. What's up?
I remember, like, in the 80s, or not the early 80s, but late 80s, there was, like, a lot of movies coming out to make teachers look bad.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're like losers. Or mm-hmm. they're making them look like... Or
they were showing their real life.
Or they're making the school look bad. Like,
Lean on Me.
Or the other one. That was funny.
What
you said? When you were talking about teachers. Oh, my God.
Who's in it?
I was thinking about that movie when you were talking about it.
Never seen it.
Dude, it's hilarious. Bro.
Richard Mulligan.
Richard Mulligan. This movie is hilarious, bro. Nick Nolte. This movie started all the funny movies later on. But this movie was about an actual school where they're losing bad test scores.
Truancy.
Yeah, it's falling.
Truancy.
Yeah.
But this movie was fictional, but it kind of started the other movies that were real and bad, like the teacher.
The teacher take as like the ambassador to life and taking you further. Although there were movies like that before. There was like To Sir With Love and all this. Sidney Poitier movie, remember that?
Raising in the Sun?
Yeah.
I gotta look it up.
That's a great movie. Sidney Poitier was a huge movie. And he's teaching all these white British kids. And
I saw clips of it.
He's a black teacher. And they love him.
I'm getting to it.
That song. Sorry.
No, I never seen that one, but that's way back. Well,
I thought you were joking.
60 something?
Probably 66, damn. 67.
But there was To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, there you go, dog. When you go to get back to the Mockingbird. Yeah. Fuck that little rascal. They Miss Huckabee.
No, Miss Crabtree.
Miss Crabtree.
Yeah, dog.
That Miss Huckabee was my second grade teacher.
But back then, they were seen as just babysitters, basically. They weren't really like.
But, dude, you gotta see the movie Teachers, bro. That guy, Chris Mulligan, is that his name? The actor?
Oh, Richard Mulligan. The guy who's on Soap. One of the best shows ever made.
That fool escapes from mental hospital, right? And then he walks into that school, bro, and pretends to be a substitute teacher, right?
Tight.
But so he ends up being phenomenal.
He's being a great teacher.
Better than the regular
but he's crazy.
He like gets dressed up as the historical.
Just his case on.
Because there's this teacher, right? A black teacher. And she's arguing with a white teacher, right? Well, I got all these Latino students who don't speak English.
Damn.
And she goes, I can't teach them to read. Well, blah, 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 right? But then the guy from the mental hospital, right? He's a teacher there now, too. He goes, but you're a teacher.
A true job.
Yeah. He goes, blah, blah, blah. Then everybody starts talking about, I can't teach this guy. How can I teach math when this guy can't even read? But you're a teacher, right? He kept telling him, but you're a teacher over and over. But you know, they shut him up with some people need more experience in this school.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what he hit him back with?
They hit him back with. But anyway, fool, this fool is teaching, he's teaching about the American Revolution dressed like George Washington, bro.
He's on Frontier.
Like, he's really dressed with everything, dude. He takes food out in the fucking outside.
Musket.
The Potomac. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Remember? He is crazy. It's a good movie, though.
Like mad reenactment? Hell yeah. Hey, dude, what were you going to say about that, Friends from College? That one scene about the girl.
What girl?
You were talking about it, and then we went somewhere else with the Friends from College?
That one scene. I forgot, bro. You locked
You're
me in the cordial.
You were talking about buying a birthday present for herself.
Oh, yeah. She was buying a birthday present for herself, bro. But, man, and she says 40? What kind of cream you have, eh?
Yeah, I think we Nivea, dog. What up?
What up?
That was a badass show. Dude, that fucking show's funny, dog.
Hell yeah, man.
Dude. What I like about that show, too, in the end, it shows like...
You went through the whole show in one day, huh?
Yeah.
No life.
It's such a good show, though.
Dude, I did that shit from like midnight to like 4 a.m.
Oh, when I watch these...
It goes into the next one. Yeah, you have to watch seamless. It. You forget that it's
starts at 43
seconds. When I watch these shows, I always watch... I never have friends like this.
I've always seen people in college like those people, but I never had. I was a loner, dog.
But then I'm thinking, they all went to Harvard.
Yeah.
They have cash.
You know that, or you know scholarship shit. That one fool is a trust fund baby.
Is he a trust fund baby, or he had an inheritance recently?
Well, she said just because you have a trust fund, don't feel bad for yourself. Peel's Key's wife.
Oh, okay. I thought he had inherited a bunch of money and he doesn't have to work anymore. Yeah. But I didn't know he was trust fund baby.
Started watching that show with Justin Bateman, man. Ozarks? Fuck that. I'm lost in the Ozarks, bro.
Yeah, dude, let's see the same thing. I watched four episodes.
Fuck that, dude. I feel like every show now, I'm going to start thinking that if I'm not into it by the second episode, I'm done, bro. You're going to suck me into another 10.
Yeah, like.
And then shit ain't going to happen. That happened to me with Tom Hardy, bro. Fucking Taboo.
Oh my God. You sat through that for like 18 episodes. I was out after two, and I like Tom Hardy.
18, it was 10.
You coming out with a lot of bullshit ass shows and movies, that fool.
Man,
I like him, and I was so disappointed.
Taboo with Tom Hardy, that's an expensive show to flop, bro. Because that fool used real ocean, bro.
Damn.
He didn't use no studio. I always look at shows like where they're dressed with costumes, bro. Those shows are going to get one chance. You can't have a show like Lord of the Rings bomb, and then you're going to give it a second chance. You can't give a show like that a second chance because the costume ain't going to look as good. The dragon couldn't be made out of paper.
Start slashing the budget, huh?
No, but like sometimes the show start losing their budget, bro.
It runs out.
It runs out, right?
Yeah, and they start doing anything.
You got to replace the cast. like we were talking last time when they replaced the cast of Bucky and Dukes of Hazzard with Bo and Luke.
Oh, they brought their cousins in.
Yeah, they brought it wasn't good. It was.
And then they came back. Was that after? It was after contract negotiations, right? We talked about that a while ago.
Miro, you're going to get replaced, man, by Toby Hicks and fucking Jamal Bowman.
What's up, Dominique?
What's up, dopesters? What's up, fool? What's up, fool? What's up, fool? Man, you ever go like, we have a guest here, bro.
Yeah, man.
Introduce, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our honor to introduce one of the funniest females on the planet, straight from D.C.
Thank you.
Please put your hands together for Dominique.
I appreciate
What's up, fool?
What up, though?
First time we ran into you, man, I think it was over there.
In Upland.
Upland.
About 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Speedy was on that show?
Speedy was on that show.
It was Cookie's Room?
Nah.
No, it was a Latina girl, huh? Was it Barry?
I think Barry had something to do
with it. Barry had something to do with it, I think.
Barry Neal?
Nah, no, that tall, thin tall, brother. Tall,
skinny Barry. From the Ontario.
Improvs a lot of Christmas shows and shit there.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
Yeah.
I know that dude. He just hung around with Steve Trevino.
Maybe.
All right.
Could have been, though.
Yeah, but it's a tall, thin brother, dog.
He played with the Bee Gees, right? Barry Gibbs.
Nah.
You ever talk to people, man, when they don't know who the hell you're talking about, but they throw in a name like, yeah. But they start throwing a fake personality about that person. Yeah, man. Yeah, man, that guy laughs a lot, right? Yeah, man, he's quick with a joke.
He has big feet.
I
thought you were going to process something.
No, I just realized
you wrote that word on that process.
No, I just realized she texted me, but I missed it.
No,
I'm
for
sorry.
Real, man. Like,
I hope you were not no worries.
Sometimes, like, people use one word, and then everybody runs with it, bro, and they're using it wrong. At first,
context.
Remember when that song came out? It's my prerogative.
Right.
That, it was good for the song.
That's too big a word to use
for the song.
Pop music.
For the song. But then everybody started using it everywhere. You know, fuck that bitch. You know, it's my prerogative.
Right.
No, and I know, bitch.
That's overdoing it.
Yes.
Overdoing it.
They hop on that word like anything else.
You know, another one is percolating. percolate.
Remember, do the percolate.
Yeah, it's that's time a for dance. The percolator. It's a dance.
I don't believe that was a dance.
And then Mary J. Blige started talking.
It was a dance?
Yeah.
The first time I heard that
sprinkler
was in the Nutty Professor when Eddie Murphy said, oh, girl, I heard you percolate.
Yes. The
sprinkler. It's almost like the sprinkler, I think. Yeah.
I remember this dude.
Hold on. Let it percolate, bro.
This dude from D.C., like, we were all at the All-Star Weekend one weekend, and he was this dude named Daryl, and the time for the percolator was out. He got up on top of the damn pool table.
It's always a gay dude.
And he started percolating, and they are cheering, but he didn't realize he was backing up. He percolated his ass right on the floor. Oh, he kept, it's time for the percolator. They was like, ooh, Daryl, percolating, stand up.
He turned to a little broken teacup. But that was the song where let's get it percolating.
Yeah, well, there was a dance before the song, right? Yeah, and her song was not even about a dance. Her song, that wasn't even the main.
But then everybody started doing it, right?
Oh, like, no, hold on. They started using the word,
like,
too.
Like, you know, it's dumb, bro, when Spanish people start using it more. What happened? Estamos ya percolating, cabrón.
No mames.
No mames. So, lately, everybody's been using the process.
You gotta trust the process. Process.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
How about, like, bro, what kills me is when I see comedians, like, before they go up, like, they'll put their set together and take a picture of it. Yeah, man, you gotta follow the process. Then you see them bomb.
With cue cards.
And then you don't want to be.
What process is that? When they bomb, what's that process?
You can't,
it's called bomb.
You can't comment that on a person who the millennial because they get hurt.
They do.
Because they get hurt. They don't. Someone who's like, who's 34 to 50 years old is going to say, fuck you, motherfucker, allow.
Yeah.
If you write that shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
You write it to them, but someone who's 22, you hurt their feelings, bro.
Yeah, they're more sensitive.
You got to go to counseling and shit.
Like somebody who writes the process, you write. Like, if you were to say, like, all these NBA players talking about the process. Well, how about processing that big ass L?
Yeah,
putting your head down.
But they don't. It doesn't even affect them. Like, they can get blown to smithereens, and they'll shake your hand. Why are you shaking his hand? It's the playoffs. You are enemies right now. What is that about?
Everybody's all wants to be on the nice tip. Not that it's bad, but you know what I'm saying. Like, overly nice.
Yes, but you're not competing. No, you're getting blown out. This man out here shimmying on you. You know what I mean? Dancing and shimmying. What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you tired? Why are you shaking their hands?
You see that with comics, though, these days, too.
Hell like, yeah, the newer, you see
the
that
newer
shit.
Group of comics, they can't take, you know, the way you guys kid each other in your generation of comedy. And you, yeah, like, you'll bag, like Dom Herrera saying to you, nice try, when you come off and
yeah.
you're killed, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Where'd you lose them at?
Right. But a lot a lot of other people, newer generation, they get hurt by that. They really do.
But I also think that that's kind of bad because if you're not going to know any of that criticism, dude, later on you're going to fucking face some real shit. You ain't going to know what to do with
from
it.
From the fans.
But one thing
know.
About the younger generation that's even weird, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, they can go up and bomb and their peers will say, good job.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be high-fiving.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's not good job.
Give them a tag for their joke.
You know, when we went up and bombed, give them a tag. We went up and bombed, people be like, it's all good.
You would leave.
You would leave. You would go home. They'd be like, we
nobody
see
wants
you
to shake your hand because they might get that shit on them.
Yeah, that corny shit on them. You know what I'm saying? But they give them high five. They even force themselves to laugh. And I'm like, you knew that wasn't funny. Why are you laughing?
And they forget they bombed.
They
I know
do.
People that bombed 20 years ago, people still remember that shit.
Oh, hell yeah, dog.
I know I do.
I bombed.
Badass bomb.
Like, even if you go to that town, 10 years later, redeem yourself.
Yeah.
There'll be somebody from the last show.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you really got better. I tell you, I'm your process.
Man, you stuck with the process.
You stuck with the process.
And he'll be old school, though. Yeah, you up there percolating.
You percolate this time with a percolator.
What was your biggest bomb? I'll tell you my biggest bomb.
God. I'll tell you.
My biggest bomb, bro, has to be Tacoma, Washington. I did one of those shows, bro, that every Hispanic comedian and every ethnic, every African American goes through. Lunell called it. It's like a rite of passage, bro.
Yeah.
When you get booked by this guy in Seattle and don't get paid.
Oh, that Pierre?
Pierre.
Pierre.
Yeah. Look at him. So I was the show was $700 to fly to Hawaii to do one night and then do the next night in Tacoma, Washington. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't get paid for either one, by the way. It didn't even matter. But but I bombed so hard. I was bombing in the beginning of the show, and then some dude goes up on stage, and then him and I are having a roast battle, but then he out, and he's funnier, of course. But I had to follow. Yeah. But then you start making excuses, bro, because I had to follow, like, everybody. I had to follow the local barbershop, San Luis Beach, pass out the little bottle for money.
All his family's there.
And then there was a local guy who killed with just references. Yeah. Y'all know the barbershop.
Yeah.
Y'all seen that picture.
Your hometown, you always have a leg up. You always ahead. Because you can talk about something nobody inside. Else knows. Yeah, inside jokes. Yeah.
Shit, but then after a while, man, you come to that town for the 10th time, you're that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, you're that motherfucker now. You blew away any young hack from that town. Because he'd be like, hey, y'all, I'm going to poke it. But then you go in there. And you talk about an old club that's closed down now.
Woo! They like oh man.
Never! Like, if you're out there and go like this, oh man, y'all remember the vent? And then, and the young comics don't even know.
Oh hell no.
They don't know. They don't have a clue.
Like, I'll be like, y'all remember the celebrity? Like, I'll be when we're at Houston, I'll be like, y'all remember the fucking
Bronco Bowl?
The Bronco Bowl. And then people go crazy. See, some of you guys don't know that you were made there. I bomb hard, bro.
At the Bronco Bowl?
No, at the fucking Tacoma, Washington.
Oh, okay.
I was the only Mexican there. Then I bombed harder when I said that, yeah, Chris Rock was right. There's black people, and we all know who you guys are.
Oh, no.
Boo!
Oh, hell.
Boo! I broke my sobriety that day. I had 9 years in, dog. But yeah, man, bomb hard. That was tough.
Them bombs, I never forgot. I bombed.
Because I called somebody. That's how fucked up it is when you bomb or you call somebody. And they're going to help you. What happened, bro? I was not good, dog. Take it easy, dog. Listen to some Frank Sinatra, bro.
Do it. You did it your way, bro.
That's what he told me, bro. I called him Willie Barcena. I said, bomb hard, bro. Then he goes, some comics are, they switch it to their feelings. You want to see bombing, bro? I bombed that fucking at the Comedy Act Theater, 1991. You know, so I make a year. God damn, bro.
Yeah, I bombed so bad at this club called The No Laughs. When I tell you I bombed and I never forgot it, it's the Comedy Connection in Laurel, Maryland. I went up there and I bombed so damn bad. And this place held like 350 people. And it was packed.
Damn.
I feel it while I'm talking about it. I bombed so, and I never forgot it.
Kleenex at
it. I bombed so bad. They was just looking at me like, get your ass off the stage. Who told you was a comedian? They like, boo, no, no, no.
We don't want to hear a noise.
We don't
want to
hear no more. When I walked off, I just had my head down.
Were you the headliner? What was this
show? No, I wasn't the headliner, but
it was like a showcase of
several
people.
I was just like in the middle somewhere, Lisa, and I was just like, I bombed. And when I walked off, you could see like all the comedians would be up in this little section right in the corner because the venue went up this way. When I bombed, they was all looking at me like, you took a bad one. I was like, I know. Thank you.
Damn. How did it start off bad from the beginning?
From the beginning, Felipe. It wasn't good at all. I couldn't catch a rhythm at all. I don't know what the hell happened. I couldn't catch a rhythm
reach
at
for that
all.
Shit, huh?
I'm talking about, you know, when you on stage and you start out like you pretty much when you go on stage, you kind of have directions you're going to go in. Well, when them directions not work, you got your little trick. Let me walk down this street.
That little trick.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, Rodrigo? Oh, yeah. Let me walk down this street when I'm going to turn this corner. But maybe I need to reverse a little bit, you know, like you're driving a car, you know. They wasn't having none of it. They was like, no, you're not good. Get off. And I got off, but I was like, I am good, though. Yeah, I'm good.
It's like when you start bombing, man, 20 minutes. A material could go through in 1 minute, bro.
Oh, hell yeah, dog.
You start putting that heat on your back.
Oh, God.
It's like a one line of heat.
The 7 minutes turns into 7 hours.
That long heat is someone, it's like God pushing you out the stage.
And that's real.
That's you're fighting real. It, right? You just, the more you stay there, the hotter it gets.
You can't really fight it.
And man, I hate when I'm bombing, when you start feeling like bombing, then you go blank, man. And you got to start staring.
That's when you say, how about them Lakers?
That's why when you start looking around the room, that's why I tell people, don't bring your family to your shows in the beginning. Don't bring your friends. They'll never look at you the same after that bombing. Yeah. A bombing like that could bring up a relationship, man.
For real.
And a friendship. You better, you know what, Brian? People stop loaning you money after you bomb like that. You ain't going to make it, homie.
Maybe you should just try something else.
I did that. I made that mistake, though. I bought my aunt and everything to another show at this little club. Wasn't good. And I've never invited her since this day. I have not. She was like, I want to come to one of the shows. And I just felt like, maybe you did it to me. Because I got better after that. Maybe it was you. I was like, all right, I'm going to invite you. I was like, nah, I'm fucking around bomb
just
again.
Just watch me on TV.
Yeah, I'll invite
here's
you.
Here's a link.
And she was sitting in there. She was like, that's all right. No, it's not. It's not.
That's all
right. Bombing feels like... For me would be like I don't know, man. Be like to watch someone you love so much, having sex with like your friend one at a time, bro. And then she's looking at you going like this. It's okay, it's okay.
Damn.
And you're trying to stop her, bro, but you can't. And then everybody's going, and then your friends are going, it's cool, it's going to be all right.
She don't like it like that.
Your friends are telling you, it's going to be all right. And then she's telling you, I'm fine. But you're like hurting inside. You know, but that's the way bombing is, because all those people are going to tell you, it's going to be all right. I'm fine. But you know it's not going to be fine.
How do you recover from that and get strong enough to come back again the next time?
You get a new chick. I don't know.
You just got to do it.
I don't know, Lisa.
Like, how do
I
you
have
get,
no idea. Because
that's what I could never do it again.
You're gonna be a different kind of human being to accept failure over and over at that.
Because
as bad as it hurts, here we go trying to do it again.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know how they say, crackheads, they always searching
chasing
for
that.
They're chasing that first high.
Yeah.
We forever chasing. Mm-hmm. We chasing and we chasing
that
and
big
we
laugh.
We chasing.
That shit feels good than a motherfucker.
I'm telling you, when you got them big laughs going, it's no other feeling in the world. So we always chasing. We always
especially
chasing.
Especially when
like,
you're in that zone.
Oh, God.
They're giving me the light.
They're giving you the light. You better believe. When they see you rocking and rolling, they're like, ooh. The headline like, get up. Oh, he's stopping the stage out.
Kevin Hart going up next. Get her off.
Yeah, it's always like, I think Lisa's just like, you always chasing. You do. But it is.
Just hurtful, huh? When it's up there.
Yeah, it is. But it is just like, you're just, you keep chasing. And you, because it's disappointment, like Felipe said, after disappointment.
So if you started as an open micer and you kept bombing, I'm not a comedian, by the way.
Okay.
And you kept bombing. And you never got the laugh, you probably would drop off sooner than the others, right? If you get a couple laughs, that's that taste of you wanting to come back.
If you're open
right?
mic and you're not getting any laughs.
If you get nothing, you're more likely to stop.
Yeah, probably. You probably should. Because even as an open micer, when you got it, you're going to get some laughs. It might not be what you want. Right. You're going to get something.
Something, but... But, yeah, it's tough, man, if you get nothing.
Yeah, if you get nothing, maybe it's not a good idea, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, you shouldn't be up there, man.
Hell no.
But I've seen people who were not funny, who were just stupidly not funny to the audience. Later on, that same stupid act is making me fucking laugh out loud. Because it just grows on you again. And you realize, okay, this was a stupid act the whole time.
Does the comic know it's a stupid act?
I don't know.
Or they think it's really
still
good.
Processing it.
I doubt if they think that, though. They probably
think, they just think it's
that.
Really good.
What's your worst bomb, Rodrigo?
Me, that's like fucking getting jumped and you have your arms and legs tied behind your back. You can't fight back. You just keep coming at back.
Nah, it has to be more emotional. That's physically.
Yeah. It's
more an emotional thing, man.
But you know what
I mean? They will cry and get your ass beat.
I could get beat up over and over, man, but the pain is going to go away, and I'm going to get beat up again. But It's like it's more like a heartbroken to me, man.
Yeah,
it has to be a heartbroken because having my friends have my we have sex with my wife or my girlfriend, you know, I'll be heartbroken. So to me, it's more personal. My wife, whatever, it's more heartbroken for me because I've gotten jumped, I've gotten beat up, and you know I walked away from that, but. Nah, man.
It stays with you.
It stays with you.
It does stay with you. But you know what's hurtful, too? I don't know if you guys feel this way. Is when you, as the years pass and you got pretty consistent with getting laughs and pretty much, you know, at this point, okay, at this point, I'm a rip. I'm pretty decent. I'm pretty good at this. And then one of those days happen when you don't get them. You're like, oh, look at this shit. It don't never go. You know, it's not as bad as when you bomb. But you know. Okay, I was just all right, you know. Those hurt me, too. I'd be like, oh, okay, that was...
Those are more hurtful because you're already in the professional status.
Yeah, you're in the professional status. You're like, y'all ain't laughing at everybody else. Well,
like even though, but even though sometimes I hear the audience one way, but you'll say, man, I didn't think they laughed at anything, or I didn't think I did very well. Like, you won't feel like you did very well, but it was a fine. It was fine.
I think to feel that, you've been doing it for a long ass time.
Like, you're critiquing yourself, I guess, more harshly.
Yeah. Though.
Like, the motherfuckers did not get them in the middle joke.
Right. That one little tag.
When was the last time you said you felt like this was a bombing? Like, what show you think it was, Rodrigo? Like, you said, I weigh. Well, they were not giving it up to nobody, and you were there too, and then he gave it up to you.
The last one?
Probably Wild Coyotes, huh?
Hell yeah. Dude, because Wild Coyotes, you didn't get a chance if you weren't rocking it right away. That's what's funny.
That's funny, huh?
A lot of people don't get that now. You get a chance now to go up on stage.
Yeah, that's true.
You get a lot of cheer. Oh, I want you to do good.
Yeah. You do.
It's like, I don't want to. It's like, before it was like, motherfucker, you got to make me laugh.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
Like, if somebody would have yelled out, don't give up while I'm up there, I'll give up. That's not cheering me on. But people get that nowadays. You're right. I'm going to keep moving on.
Oh, hell yeah.
But back then, it was just boog it off.
Oh, dude. They had no time for that.
Yeah, they booed you off.
And then you were going up into like in between solid professionals, too. So
yeah.
The crowd can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Tell them more about how about them Lakers night.
Oh, because I was at this place I bombed this. That was a place in Moreno Valley. Cheers. Cookie used to do that place.
You did some 12-5 room, though.
Well, that's why I didn't know any better. Yeah. I didn't know where to go.
Okay, like you did some room that if a person that started at the Comedy Store, he probably would have quit by now.
Oh, dude, it's fucking. That's why it makes me laugh. Like when, you know, you're in front of like not softer rooms, but different rooms. Y'all, dude, not that this is easy, but it's just like different. But. So I'm on stage. There was a brother on stage and shit. And, you know, he was doing good all right. But then fucking it wasn't happening. Homeboy, so I don't know what the fuck happened. And that's when that Ludacris song was on. Move, bitch. Get off the way.
Oh.
No, then there was like a big old black lady in the back.
Oh, my
and then she's
God.
All, boo, motherfucker. Get off the stage. Get off the stage.
For you?
No, for him.
Oh.
So ooh, then I'm
you were next?
And then he's all, how about them Lakers? And that's when the Lakers was hot. They go, yeah, motherfucker, get the fuck off, right? So he goes down, and you know, Cookie over there trying to cheer it up. Then I got my Latino, but I thought I'm going to go over there and blow that shit up.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
I go in there, try to hit him, and it wasn't. And then some bigger brother in the back going, man, get your ass out of here with those old ass Jordan looking like a broke ass Paul Rodriguez. But I just battled that a little 10 minutes through. But it was like, you know, not as bad as the other dude, but I was still kind of in that realm where like nobody brought it back to how it was supposed to
right,
be.
Right,
fool,
right.
If it was any good heckler stories, yeah, bro. Uh-huh. When it was a devil, got heckled by the guy with the glass. That guy was like, he picked up the guy's glasses.
Oh, dude.
What's up, this comedian, man? He said, what the fuck, dog? He fucking looked at his glasses. You can see the fucking future with the fucking glasses. And that guy said, you don't have one.
Oh!
Ooh. Oh!
Them hecklers, those hecklers, they can be deadly. But like, you gotta know
he
when.
He picked up that guy with the glasses. So he's probably been picked up his whole life.
Yeah, he had ready. Good ones, dude.
He was ready. And you gotta know when a heckler ready, though. Some comedians don't know when they ready. You can tell when they sit back there, they got their drink,
relaxed.
And they like, come on.
They got a set list.
Yeah, they got no.
Little tape recorder.
They sitting back in that chair like, come on with it. I came up here just for your ass. Come on with it.
I didn't even know why.
At Wild Coyotes, that would happen to you, and people would come up and shake your hand afterward. That was fun. They were heckling you.
Oh, they were little stars, too.
Yeah,
they were like
at bar stars. At regular bar clubs, there are people that go every week, and they heckle every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they shake your, you're right, they shake your hand at the end of the show.
That's their performance.
Oh, yeah. Says,
hey, we were funny. I'm not a motherfucker. I was funny. You were annoying.
You were annoying.
Oh, man.
Like the way I have. I hate when a heckler walks up to you after you fucked him up. You didn't do half your act. Nobody got to see your act. All they saw you was clown him, clown him, clown the town. You were done. And then they're telling you, hey, like the way I helped you out.
You ain't helped me out.
You didn't help me out, motherfucker.
I was doing fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
What would that assist?
You want to help me out, man? Go find a promoter.
Sometimes I tell a heckler. I tell a heckler, too, like, I don't want to do this to you. Because this is about to be bad. Because I'm going to add in mamas and daddies and all that. I say, so do you want me? I don't want to do it. I'm giving you an opportunity. Oh, fuck that. All right, motherfucker. I'm like, okay.
How about when these motherfuckers heckle and you fucking heckle the fuck out of them and they try to get all violent on your ass?
Yeah, they mad now. They started. They you don't know me. I didn't.
Hey, dog, I'll bring the setup in here right now. You get threatened, dog.
I know they can't take it, huh?
Hell no. Nah,
but they started it. How you going to start something and can't take it? Why you start it? Sit there, eat your chicken wings, drink your Henny on the rocks, and shut up.
But it is.
How did you know? How was I supposed to know that wasn't your wife?
Yeah, dog. Get outed, man.
What time of jingle? You call that dude Dusty Rhodes, right?
I call him Ric Flair.
People just can't take it sometimes.
Fuck
man.
No. I was always like, especially at the Wild Coyotes, I was like, fucking motherfuckers talk shit. And as soon as fucking somebody fucking found it, it was just like, they'll scatter and go, oh, it was him. Ah, oh, these motherfuckers were laughing with me. Now they're over there sitting with the victim.
or like, I also don't like when you get booked by the promoter, mm-hmm. and then the promoter has a little table for all his friends, and that table's heckling.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's the worst thing.
Little privilege table.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But enough with Daniel Dugard shows back in the day.
Yeah, Dugard
too short heckling and shit.
Yeah, Dugard had some serious shows back in the day. Shout out to Dugard. He always looked up for me. Hell yeah.
I remember somebody we were talking about. People back here in LA. We'll talk about his show that's being so loud and so bad. Like Ruben Paul once told me, no, man, his shows, he pay you, though.
Yeah, he pay you, though.
But Too Short and his boy be heckling through the whole show.
Yeah. What about, I like when the heckler, when you get the heckler and the whole table, they laughing at his ass. They can't take it no more. First, they all had this united stance. They looking like, and after a while, they just drop their head. I said, see, now your friends, like your family laughing at you now. So it's an imminent problem. You need to shut up, dude.
Me? I've given people who heckled me nicknames. To this day, that nickname lives.
Wow.
Like, they call that motherfucker that.
Wow.
Like, when I go back again, hey, there goes my friend. What's his name? But they don't even know that they use the same joke on that motherfucker that I did to a guy in Tennessee. And there's three assholes, the same nickname.
Nationwide now.
Okay. It's on your side.
That was another tweet I had this week, bro.
Which
speaking
one?
Of topics, that the music has gotten so bad that I cannot wait for the next Nationwide commercial to come out.
Ooh. The music, though, I think the music is different.
Nationwide, them good singers, bro.
They are.
I just fucked up to do the Nationwide commercial. Like, the guy singing the piano. I don't know who the hell he is. I'm thinking, is that the guy from Empire? No. But then he's singing, Nationwide is on your side.
That shit got you,
but
huh?
He don't got an album.
Felipe like that.
He don't got an album, but this guy fucking yodeling has a fucking a platinum album already.
I know, like 3 million followers or something.
I know,
like
it's disgusting.
Our world is crazy.
Yeah, we live in a nicer world.
That word is crazy.
We live in a nicer world because a little kid like that in my generation, he'll be bullied his whole life. He'll never wear those clothes again.
Well, they would take that guitar and beat his ass with it, dog.
Like, as soon as that kid would have got to school, like, they would have shown that little kid in the news on the fucking Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Ashley Devine is talking about, a little kid singing, like a little kid singing in Walmart this morning, and they show him, then the kid go back to school. What the fuck are you yodeling, you idiot? He would have got bullied in school, bro.
With boots, fool.
With boots on.
Dude, I remember
we were shit kickers on.
We would bag on Mexican fools that came to school with boots on, dog. imagine your ass, dog.
And you live near the country.
Yeah, dog. Fuck out of here.
Hell yeah, bro. In my school, man, anything just ridiculous that goes viral now, they would have fucked you up.
Oh, fuck.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Even that little kid, get away with that shit. Charlie bit my finger.
Charlie! Charlie, oh, don't do that, Charlie!
Charlie bit me.
You could be famous but just walking up to somebody and hitting him in the face with a pie now, bro.
You can do anything now. I don't like though. Like I feel him saying the people can't sing anymore. I don't even know why that's accepted. Like why is mediocrity celebrated though?
All the time.
What is that about?
Because now the music companies are in control. Because now they know they can just create a star. You know, you can, like, Nicki Minaj a star. You can, like, Ariana Grande. Who are all these new, like, manufactured people? Mm-hmm. But even the rappers, too. Like, you just say, okay, well, we're going to dress you up like this. We're going to partner you with these people. We're going to, you know, and they just see money and they go, okay. They're not putting out any good music. They're just a creation for the marketing.
It's no, all bro. Instant, too.
It's all instant.
Like when Frank Zappa said, like, when we ruin music, and he goes, well, it was an older guy, right? An old guy, right, who gave this guy, this wild guy that was singing with a guitar, like, you know, rock and roll music. He saw him at a bar. This old guy said, who gave that guy a chance? And that guy sold millions of records. Then the old guy said, how are we going to get more guys like that? How am I going to find more guys like that? So they hired a guy that was that guy's age to go find more guys who look like that guy. Mm-hmm. And everybody just started following the same routine.
It's on Hollywood.
Doing that shit today.
Yeah. Hollywood the same way. People are so afraid to lose their job. They want to do the same copycat thing.
But it took an old guy, a real old guy, to believe in it. But it's the young guy he hired that's going to hire the same type of people without letting the music be different and new.
Mm-hmm. No, they're going to just look for that same thing to make another hit.
And then instant stars go over there and pop them out, 3 million records real quick, and they're fucking forgotten 6 months.
Yeah, that's the process that works.
Thing. Yeah. That's the process.
Recycling that shit.
It's recycling, and it doesn't give you longevity. So
we're, in Americans, you know, we're addicted to newness. We like new shit quick and throw it the fuck out.
All the time. Like, everything and it doesn't disposable. Even matter to us if it's good or not.
Yeah, just that one song for that little, for that little time.
Well, I told you, like Kesha. Okay.
Kesha.
So I know Kesha's best friend, her childhood friend that she grew up with. They both lived out here. I was waiting tables with her friend. Kesha was like, she'd show up every once in a while, but she wasn't Kesha yet. She was just Kesha.
Okay.
But her real name is Kesha. But anyway.
Damn, I didn't know that was real.
Yeah. So she shows up to like our karaoke nights and stuff, but she's underage. She snuck in all the time without an ID. And, but she'd hang out and then she would go up and do karaoke and she was horrible, like horrible, like beyond, like you can tell this person can't even carry a tune, right? And she would talk about, she just got back from Japan and touring and stuff. And I was like, who is this?
I was like, don't be lying.
I was like, who is this bitch?
Karaoke tour?
All I know is you hang out with us sometimes and you're underage. Like, that's all I know about you. And then all of a sudden, boom, she's on Flo Rida's song. And she was singing on that, what is it? You Turn Me Right Round, Baby Right Round. That's her on that song. That was her first kind of transition into American pop music, like that scene. And then she got her own record deal. But it was all creation. You know, she has her certain personality, but they just, they dressed her, they,
marketing,
you know,
plan,
the
all that shit.
Marketing plan, this is how we're going to do the music, and, you know, it's... And then inside, there's this person there who can't really sing.
And it's a
but it's
lot
amazing.
Of that.
It's magic.
You don't even have to be like I had somebody tell me. Well, you know, if you in comedy, you don't really have to be funny anymore. It's more marketing. Okay, so really, you don't have to be funny anymore. So, what is the purpose of comedy if you don't have to be funny anymore? But we see that's true, though.
Those people that show up by beer, though. Or there'll be no show.
Oh yeah, it'll be no show. So it's weird.
But the thing is, they're categorizing comedy differently
like
they're seeing. But they're seeing like Vine, which doesn't exist anymore, or like YouTube or Instagram little 5 minute videos, 1 minute videos. You know,
you ever had that crazy friend that dances everywhere?
And they take already existing jokes and just make it into a video, and then boom, they're a sensation.
I'm telling you, man.
Once you're a sensation, you know what's
next. If you have a flat tummy and decent boobs, and you're fucking 23 to 26 years old, you could post up any video and say, you have that crazy friend that dances everywhere?
Yeah.
And then she starts twerking and showing her butt, like at the mall, at Vons, at Fool for Less. And then that video
gets million
hits. Arouse. Blows up, man.
It blows up.
If I do it, bro, nobody.
Me.
You ever that one friend that twerks everywhere? Me. Ew.
See you twerking everywhere.
Any chick showing any type of body is going to have over like of a couple course. Of hours. No matter what.
Immediately.
Add that comedic little element to it. There's add like, that little shit to it.
Say stand-up comedy is still king, though. Yeah. You can say you can do comedy.
I believe that.
But stand-up comedy is still hard to do.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah.
Too,
yes.
So you could take that person with 7 million views and go up on stage and do comedy. He's not going to do comedy. I witnessed that happen. At 11:30 o'clock show, this YouTube star sold out the whole room. How much stand-up did he do? Nothing. The whole show was a two-hour meet and greet.
Yeah, 20 uh-huh. minutes of being on stage doing something. That's the total show.
All he did was walk around with a little horse and a broom, like a broom horse.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the little penguin.
The stick pony.
Yeah, unicorn. Yeah, unicorn. And there were $45 tickets to get in. And there were all little girls that were brought there by their parents, and the parents were duped.
The dad was asking, like, what did I pay for? Right?
Yeah, what did he pay for? For your dad, for your daughter to scream for an hour.
Yeah, that's all she wanted.
And buy merch. Yeah. He walked out of there with $45, sold out show at 11:30 in the morning, Orlando Improv.
In the morning.
And sold like around $5,500 in merch. See you guys later. I'm 21 years old.
Welcome to America. Capitalism at its finest.
I just robbed your 14-year-old daughter. I'm 21 years old, bitch. Suck it.
I didn't have to. He didn't even use a pistol or nothing.
None of that stuck.
And I'm Arab. How about you like that? He's Arab.
Oh, he's Middle Eastern.
Wow. He's Middle Eastern. Yeah. Your dad voted for Trump, but he's sucking the unicorn broom dick right now. His name is Twains, by the way.
Twains.
Wow.
Shout out to Twains.
That happens a lot.
This guy said $2 for the Vigo Twerks.
$2? $20.
$2.
$20, dog.
$20.
What's up, fool? Twains with a Z.
With a C?
Yeah, there it is.
It's Twames.
There it is. Twames. This guy.
Oh, that's him, huh?
That's him right there.
With the damn unicorn.
Yeah, bro, look at...
Making a killing, huh?
And he puts his dad on something. He puts his dad right there. Look at the two Middle Eastern guys. And they're killing it, bro. Killing it.
Wow.
Show the videos. Show one of his videos.
Dang.
Has a billion views.
And if you notice, most of the sensations on the internet and you in Instagram and all that, they young.
Yeah, he sees this song.
You know...
Well, that's another thing, too. You sell youth in America. You don't sell old motherfuckers.
Nah,
unless you're prolific, like Anthony Bourdain or something.
Right.
Seriously, you have to have something really deep to say that's going to mesmerize motherfuckers.
He has 3.4 million.
Oh, my grandfather watches him.
I can't play the song, though.
No, but anyway, that's one of the sensations. Bam, look. Put some hairy-ass arms.
I'm turning the fucking wolf man over here.
Fucking Teen Wolf right here, right? Yeah, no,
he Tween
doing
Wolf.
The llama song. He's singing, I'll be in your hometown next week. Send your daughter. I'm going to be selling shirts for $35. And,
So what is he doing?
Nothing. The comments
are funny. I love you. I sang that at my school today, and the whole club was singing it.
He's singing about a llama. I don't know.
But when you think about all the stuff they do on here, you almost have to be young.
To understand that bullshit?
Yeah, and to even do it. Imagine us up there, what he was just doing in that staircase.
Oh, you come home and catch your dad doing that going, Mom, you got to divorce this motherfucker.
Yeah, you
got
to do something about that.
But and then what's funny about all this shit, then you got the thousands of copycats that do what these motherfuckers do at that little lower number level. And
it
that's
is
even horrible.
It is hard work, though, to stay on your phone all day long and make these videos and stick your tongue out. and but dude, the
production value has to be good.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah, values are good. I know that even
the girl I mentioned it when your girlfriend be you ever had that one friend that dances everywhere.
Yeah,
the quality of the video
her
is amazing,
tip top.
Let's look at Rizzo, but his quality isn't that good.
Rizzo's a little better than most.
Yeah, little tree, you hear the train going by and shit. Mom all cooking in the kitchen.
Back to Dominique, man. So what'd you get started at, D.C.? Baltimore?
I got started in D.C. I'm from D.C., but I did work a lot in Baltimore because it's only 30 minutes away.
Timonium.
Yeah, you know, yep, Timonium. You talking about Timonium. I'm going to tell you, we used to go there every year for a church fair. They had a fair up there in Timonium. Every year, my grandmother would fry chicken and make potato salad and stuff like that. Take a bus trip. But I did start in D.C., and then from D.C., I went to New York, and then I landed out here. So that's my story.
It's all like,
yeah, it's been like what now? 23 years now?
Damn.
Yeah, I went to D.C. a couple of times, man, with Max Amini. I did the Bethesda Theater.
Yeah.
Falls Church?
Falls Church.
Falls Church, yeah.
We did the
Arlington Draft House.
Arlington Draft House.
Mm-hmm. Arlington Draft House, yeah.
And D.C. Improv.
D.C. Improv.
D.C. Improv, yeah.
And did the State Theater, too.
State Theater, too. Yeah.
They do. A friend of mine does them once a month there at the Bethesda Jazz Club. That's off the chain in D.C., so he does it once a month there. He wants me to do it, but usually when I go, I do the theater. So I can't do the club right now because I do the theater.
You and I, we did a show together. We did a big-ass show, bro. I think Tracy Morgan's actually first show.
It was his first show from his accident.
Yes. We didn't even know. Yeah, it was Tracy Morgan's first show.
Yeah, it was.
He was hosting.
He was hosting that show.
Gentleman, and too.
He was, yeah, gentleman, and we went out there. But he's so comical, right? You know he was in this crash. But the way he acted, did you see him, Felipe? The way he act, like, he'll be like, somebody say, "What's up, Tracy?" And he'd be like, "Yo, who is that? You know I can't see you. I went blind. I was in a coma, yo." And you're like, "Why are you saying this?"
Yeah, man.
Nobody wants to laugh at this. This is very serious. Yo, but I can't see real. You. But he's like, "You know I can't see you." Like he was walking up the stairs. He going to stop, right? Because I used to open for him at Caroline's in New York.
He gave you a first start, huh?
He did at Caroline's. He really did.
How? How did it happen?
Because I was.
So, tell her the process.
Yeah, okay. So I trusted the process.
Were you percolating when it happened?
No, I wasn't percolating, Felipe, but I was trusting the process, right? I couldn't get in that club, right? It's Caroline's on Broadway. Huge club. And he started bringing me there to open for him. I met Tracy in New York when he used to wear the Papella hat. And I went there one time, and I had seen him on some other shows that some of my friends were on. But I wasn't on the show, but at the after party and everything. And he saw me work somewhere, so we were friends from there. And I got in that club. He put me on that at Caroline's, and after that, I was able to work that club, get spots at that club. They were like, "All right, we're going to call you for spots." I was like, "Yeah," you know what I mean? And so we've been friends from there. He put me in this independent movie called 30 Years to Life that he was doing. He put me in that movie. I've been on the road with him, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I gave her first start.
Yeah.
I saw Dominique. That's my horrible Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore.
Do it.
I'm trying to do it because I can't only do a good impersonation if I see someone do it really good.
Yeah.
Yo, we got Dominique over here.
Dean Edwards does a good.
He was like,
Dean Edwards does a good.
Yo, Ma, I'm trying to tell you something. Yo, did you know I almost died in that shit? I was like, I know, Tracy. You know, but he's so funny telling the story. He walked up the stairs, and this one we were at, where was it? We were at Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden, on top of the world.
On top, killing it.
Oh my god! It was such an awesome show. I met like the legend, the guy that went up first before me. The guy in the suit that was attacked by a monkey.
Yeah, what was it? Who was that? Who was it, Felipe?
Attacked by a monkey.
Yeah, he was on your podcast with me.
Tony Woods.
Tony Woods.
Tony Woods. Tony Woods. Yeah, it was Tony Woods.
Funny, everybody, when you go to any like. You hear a comment from the East Coast talk. It was, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It was me and Tony Woods. And I said, "All right, who is this guy?" And I finally meet him.
Yeah, so we went to, so we did that Madison Square Garden. He walking up the stairs, right? And I hadn't seen him in a while, right?
Dressed in white.
Yeah, dressed in white. So he was walking upstairs, and I could hear something say, like a little punk, 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 like a little pop, right? He going to stop. He was like, "Yo, you heard that? it's gonna do that shit for the rest of my life. I'm fucked up, yo. What the fuck? Who says that? But he really helped me. I've been blessed though in this business. I had a lot of people that took me on the road with them. So that's a blessing.
That's how I feel too, yeah. Man. Yeah, that's somebody a blessing. Took care of me somehow.
Yeah, somebody took care of me somehow. You know, I've been on the road with Mike Epps. I've been on the road with LaVale Crawford. Been on the road with Tracy Morgan. And so when I would go on the road with those people, I'm an easy act to work with. You know, some people difficult for no reason. They are. For real. And that's how
you open it, man.
Yeah, you open it. And that's how you get put off. I'm low maintenance.
Watch this, Dominique. I'm going to try to do an extra two. Nobody going to notice. Oh, they notice, my
They know it. So, you know.
The process of time.
I get there on time. You know, I do my time. When I get my light, I'm like, okay, I'm going to start wrapping it up. And, but that made the people, the promoters like me, that made me familiar with the clubs. So it really, really it all helped me, you know.
Hell yeah. When did you do Def Jam?
I did Def Jam when they did it out here. And wasn't that like early 2000 when Mike Epps hosted it?
No,
I did it
but that original one. The original one. Did with Corey Holcomb.
The original Def Jam. I was on the Chris Rock one. The original Def Jam was Chris Rock.
Yeah, he was hosting.
A dude named Ronnie Long from Philly.
Ronnie Long.
Rudy Rush. Myself and Shucky Duck.
Quack, quack.
That might have been the last appearance, yeah. TV appearance.
But I think when I did that one, it was quack. Sometime maybe like in the late 90s, maybe. Okay.
You were in New York at
Tell
that time?
Tell people who Shucky Duck is.
I was in New York at that time.
You have that one joke about, do you know how to roll?
Yeah, do you know how to roll? Absolutely, I do now.
The motherfuckers I roll with know how to roll.
See, that somebody rolled Francisco. That's who Dominique looked like. She rolled five blunts and tell you how it is.
Absolutely. Bingo. Absolutely. So I went on the road with those people, but I was able to go by myself when I started doing Tom Joyner.
Oh, that's when you were starting to headline and do your own thing?
Yes, because see, he's syndicated. So with that syndication, I was doing this. All I was doing segments like three times a week.
Awesome.
I come on, do a segment, and he'd just throw me a story. And I'm like, oh, Tom. And then I just go into these funny rants about the story. Well, anyway, the dude was like, okay, well, I'm going to try you on a couple little dates at the club. And he knew them 9 million listeners that Tom had every morning. They came to the club. I was like, oh, okay. So that's kind of how that worked. And I'm just grinding it out.
Hell yeah.
I'm on Black Jesus. That's coming on.
Is it
again.
Coming back?
Yeah, it's coming back. Right. We already
it's
got
a long
it in the,
hiatus.
It
right?
was. We have it in the can, so we just wait for it.
Corey Holcomb, my baby daddy.
Corey Holcomb, my baby daddy.
What up, Dominique?
Slink is still on the show.
Slink is still on the show.
We got to get Slink on the show to promote it.
Yeah, Slink is on the show, so I'm doing Black Jesus. I'm working on a stand-up show. I'm trying to figure out where to shoot it. So I'm working on a stand-up. Might be in L.A.
Do you want to know if you have any Patrice O'Neal stories?
I do. That is crazy. I love Patrice. So we did this Def Jam. I don't know if you all heard of it.
Yeah.
In London.
No.
We went on tour.
That one.
Yeah, we went on tour in London. Patrice O'Neal, myself.
A taping or a tour?
Just a tour.
Okay.
We did some cities in...
badass.
Yeah, in London. Patrice O'Neal, was it Tony Roberts, Capone, and who else was it? It was one more other person. I don't know why I don't remember, but I
talent.
No, it wasn't talent.
Hold on, who's that sexy girl out there? Oh, Lisa, okay.
Talent. I don't know who the other person was. I can't think of. But Patrice, Kid Capri's brother, and I can see Patrice's face so vividly. He ate a kiwi.
A kiwi?
But he ain't peeled a shit. He ate the whole thing. Get on the van that we ride on, right? Russell Simmons was there, Stan Lathan. So we riding this van. I get on the van, and Patrice is on the van sitting like this with tears in his eyes. I said, Patrice, what happened? He was like, look at him, yo. His eyes start bulging because he ate the whole kiwi. We didn't even peel it.
Yeah.
I don't know why he... I thought he should have known how to eat a kiwi. If you're going to eat kiwi, most people do. Patrice, we laughed at him so hard. Patrice was like, yo, you need to go to the doctor. Your eyes popping out of your head. Kid stands up and said, quit telling them this shit. They're comedians. They're going to laugh. He was really like, his eyes bulged. But the biggest thing about Patrice that he helped me with, we were talking about joke thieves. And he was like, we talking about joke thieves. And I was like, I don't even worry about it. I just kind of try to move past them. And he was like, he said, well, you don't really have to worry about it. I said, why? I said, people steal jokes. He said, because your jokes are so much of who you are. He said, it's going to be hard for them to rip you off. I was like, okay. And I had people drop jewels on me the whole time. And they still do. When I see comics and stuff, they still drop jewels. So I done had some experiences and been a lot of places with some dope comics.
Yeah, man. That show at Madison Square Garden was one of the biggest shows I've ever been on. That show
was
helped
huge.
Me get more shows.
Yeah, that show was huge.
Because
you killed it.
Because
killed it.
Tracy Morgan, now he messed up my name going up.
Yeah,
and he read it like 10 times.
But he was practicing in the back because he felt like but he then might when get it wrong.
She's telling me about him in a car accident.
Oh my God! He talking about he blind. He was walking like this through the back. I said, look at him. He was like, yo, who is it? You know, I was in a coma, right? I was in a coma. I can't see no more.
Start feeling on boobs. I don't feel nothing no more.
Sense of feeling.
Smoke
well.
Yours. I got slink up.
We got you something.
You got me something.
Yeah.
For you.
Oh, yeah.
Some rolling papers. Nothing to roll with.
Yes, smoke mine. Thank you.
I think Stoner Rob left those here. Stoner Rob.
His walks like Pigpen. A lot of stuff just flies around.
Rest in peace.
What's up, fool? Man, what was the what was the night with Tracy Morgan, man? Was there anything? Were you drinking with him? Sorry. Was it like working with Tracy Morgan? Were you with him when you were sober or drunk?
I was with him both.
We were a party animal, huh?
Yeah, I was with him. But
at the height of SNL, right?
Yes. Now, I used to hang out with him then at the height of SNL. And we would go to the clubs. And at that time, I drank. I don't drink anymore. But at that time, I drank. So we would get to the club, right? And you know, you already can tell when he about to cut up. You be like, oh, here he go with
Long
this
Islands.
Shit. Long Island. Oh, let me tell you about Caroline's. You want to hear about that?
You were with Tony Rock?
Huh? Tony would be on the shows. Me, Will Savance, Tony Rock. We drinking Long Island. Damn right. We drinking Long Island iced teas, dude. And we got 3 shows. So we get there before the show and we just drinking. I mean, they bringing them.
You're
on.
Opening, man. Relax.
Yeah, yes. The host, you know, I'm only doing 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm drunk.
A strong 10.
It's crack, you know? Because I'm trusting the process, right?
Yeah. Right. The Long Islands are part of the process.
They're part of the process, Lisa.
And it's her prerogative, so.
Oh, absolutely. And
watch
then I had the percolate with it. You know what I'm
nothing
saying?
Nothing like being a packed show, bro. Big headliner who's nice as hell. And you're drinking a little Long Island. You're on top of the world, bro.
You're on top of the world.
No pressure with ticket sales.
No pressure.
Sales,
no pressure. Nothing.
You, not show. You started 2 shirts on the side. You're in the bathroom trying to pick up.
They bringing food. So Tracy's like, yo, why the fuck y'all bringing, yo, 1 iced tea at a time, yo? Keep bringing that shit, yo. So they bring them. And we drink it. And we drink it. With the night passing on, we drink it. So I already knew. The first show, I made it. The second show, I was up there. I was like, I'm drunk as shit. So I'm up there talking to the people. I'm like, oh, yeah. They laughing, but I'm struggling, right? Because I'm drunk as hell. The last show, all of us shit-faced drunk, right? Tracy was so drunk, he fell off the stage. You know how Caroline's is, yeah. Right? That little curtain. If you step back too far on that curtain, you're going to come off the stage. He was back there like this. They had to pick him up. We had to have a meeting with the management when we got there the next day.
So you had to do the next day. It was sold out, too.
Yes, the next day was sold out, but we were so drunk. So I hung with him in his drinking days. We went to one club, and you can always tell when he going to start tripping. We with Big Jim. That was his driver. When he take his shirt off... It start going like this.
That's an East
like,
Coast thing,
oh,
huh?
Oh, yeah. He take his shirt off. He like, oh, he hear the music. And he going back and forth. I say, here we go with this
shit. He has an old rapper with him, huh?
Who was it?
No, Tracy Morgan. It was like an older rapper hanging out with him.
Yeah, huh? Sometimes he could, but it just depends on who he had hanging with him. He driving. He dancing to me. And then we walking, right? And people like, yo, Tracy. So after we get drunk, we leaving out, right? So this one dude said, what up, Tracy? He was like, what? Why did he grab the man's drink out his hand and just turn it across the club? I was like, let's go. You drunk as hell. Then people would call me and they'd be like, oh, did you see your boy on the front page of the New York, the Daily News?
He was in the news like every week back then, yeah, too.
Carrying him out the club like this. He drunk as hell. Then he going to tell me one night, he going to say, I'm going to drive you home. No, your ass ain't. You can't drive nowhere. He was like, oh, I ain't drunk like that. I got this. We had some times.
I was hanging out with Tony Rock in Atlanta. We were doing a show. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me and Dean Edwards about that same night you're talking about. And then he goes,
T-Rock was dead.
Yeah, and exactly the way you said it, man. And he was saying, nah, man. But Tony Rock is he telling the story just like you are, like a concerned comedian, like, nah, man, them drinks kept coming.
They
yo,
kept coming. Son,
they kept coming. He said he lined them all up and he downed them one by one.
They kept coming.
And he said that he was on stage and he started arguing with somebody in the front. He goes, man, you like somebody who got my sister pregnant. And somebody gave him a joint and he lit it, took big hit, and that when he passed out on stage.
Yeah, he fell back into the current. So I'm like this. I'm like,
you had another show, sellout weekend, right?
Yeah, that was, we were just starting the weekend. So I'm in the back at this time, right? I'm not even in the showroom. I'm in the back. I'm like, I didn't drink too much liquor now. I'm just bad. And he's like, yo, come out there. Tracy fell out. I get around the corner to, you know, right out the little dressing room. They picking him up out the back. I was like, oh, this is some bullshit. Packed house. He drunk as hell.
Yeah. He didn't finish the show?
No.
He got the light early.
Yeah, he got, yeah. Give him the light. Give him the light. He had the light.
But I had the meet and greet tickets. Come on, man. You went home with a Tracy Morgan story. I think that's
better. Hell yeah, dog.
The Tracy, he off the chain, though. For Felipe and tell you, he off the chain, no doubt. He's calmer now.
He's calmer now. Yeah, he's a very sweet guy.
Yeah, very night. Reserved. You know, he don't drink and stuff no more. He does his
own family stuff. Man and everything.
Family yeah. Man.
That night, though, when we were in Manhattan, I had no weed, bro. And I don't know where. Darnell Rollins?
Yeah.
Darnell
Rollins, man. He hooked it up, bro. Like, he gave me a lot.
Yeah.
Save the night.
Hell yeah.
I had a podcast then. Felipe did the podcast. I was like, Felipe, I'm doing my podcast. What you doing? He was like, hell yeah, I do. Because everybody killed it. Felipe crushed it. I wasn't out there, but I could just hear the laughs. I was like in the back, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. That's how it sounds when you kill it, hurrah. Then you say something, hurrah. You're like, shit, at this point, I could talk about my shoestrings.
Man, but the whole day, I was going over my set and over, nervous as hell, bro. Even though I'm doing 15.
Yeah.
Because I was doing like, I knew it was going to be like, oh, like Tracy Morgan, Dominique.
It was a big show.
Hot ass show.
Tony Woods.
Big show.
Ricky D-Ray
Smiley.
Davis. Ricky Smiley.
Ricky Smiley. It was a huge show.
That's a big
show.
Ass
Davis,
show.
That's
right?
A big show.
Donnell was on the show.
D-Ray Davis.
It was a big show. It wasn't no show. You can't, don't be bombing.
Yeah.
You know?
I tell you what.
Because I think we all had like 15 in.
Yeah, I tell you what. Like what was amazing though. Everybody stuck to the light.
Yeah.
Because see. I always think about these shows about who's going to go over because I think about the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store. Because that show would have been done at a Comedy Store improv, ain't no way you would have made your spot.
Been home at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Really? For real?
What's the longest show, like biggest show or any show that you've been to where you said, man, we're going to go home late? Where the headliner was up or you know that the show was going to run late?
Like in those theater shows, like... I know in the theater game that they always tell us you got to stick to your time because once you, they got to be
overtime.
Out of the
charges
building.
Overtime.
Yeah, that overtime,
the union
that union stuff, it starts going in their pocket. And once that happens, they're going to blame you. I was on one tour where they wanted to charge the artist.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah, they'll do that. They wanted to charge the artist. They was like, and I could hear the artist yelling, you know, when you go settle up. they were arguing, like, you went over. We need you to pay for this, 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 this. So
it comes out of the expenses before they give the profit.
But usually I don't really have that problem, Felipe, because when I'm on one of them big shows and the headliner goes up, pretty much I, like, dip off. You know what I
That's
mean?
That's what Linnell said. She said, I do my 15, I get off. Yeah, I get my money.
And
I'm
go. I step off.
How about, like, a comedy club?
Clubs are different.
A lot of comedy clubs, but they don't even care, man.
No, you talking about, like, on those workout nights?
Improv night, like.
Yeah, them improv, they don't care. Like,
but they're also home, most of them, you know?
They are home, but sometimes those shows seem like they 2.5 hours or so. 3 hours,
they're more relaxed because they're home, they're more relaxed. Like, I don't want to be in my house.
But I think they should run it the same way. Get off, dude. You up too
long. I think the more professional ones do, the ones, you know, who already have something going on, they do. But I feel like some of the other ones who are trying to, it always reminds me of that Doug Williams thing. Doug Williams, Jamie Foxx thing,
back
you know.
And forth.
The back and forth. Because those kind of people who are at a different level than the headliners, you know, those people are the ones who are going to run the light. They want to be seen more. They want people to see their whole act, to see how great I am next to this headliner, you know what I mean, on the same stage.
I can understand but
that makes sense.
You just still got to just do it in a quick time.
Yeah.
Show them in 10 minutes.
Oh, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly,
Lisa,
but they can't.
Show them in 7 minutes.
But they're
minutes.
Chasing, they're trying to find that perfect laugh, too, you know, like.
Want to end
They don't
big.
Feel like they're done.
Sometimes it's not one, though.
And it's not one.
Sometimes it's just not one. You just like, you know what, I was funny throughout, but that bang at the end, I don't have it, so I'm going to just say deuces. You know what I
mean? Some people just can't find that laugh, so they just name their name to true comedy.
They can't trust the process either. So when you don't trust the process.
Processless.
Upcoming shows, people. Urban Improv this week, May 24th through 27th. Miami.
Saturday's already sold out.
Miami, May 31st at Magic City Casino. I'm headlining the Ultimate Miami Comedian Competition. I'll be wrestling 10 comedians for the Tag Team Championship of the World.
You're not in the contest.
I'm not in the contest.
You're headlining after the contest is over for an hour.
I'm coming to Schaumburg, Illinois.
Schaumburg.
They call it the Chicago Improv, but not really in Chicago. It's in Schaumburg.
I did that with Tracy Morgan, actually.
It's far from Chicago. Time I did.
But they still have come from Chicago.
Because cool
they know
mom.
They don't have a club like that. Sorry. So that's they true. Coming, so it don't matter.
May 15th through the 17th, Schaumburg. We got invited, but I don't know if we have time to go, but we got invited to go to the White Sox game and get a tour of all the Chicago games.
Let's go, homeboy.
You know what's up?
Hey, what's up with
hopefully it'll happen early enough.
Get back to that voice. Okay, also, El Paso, San Antonio, Orlando. Coming up in June, check out FelipeWorld.com/tour because I'm adding new dates all the time. And that's because I'm blessed. And I trust the process.
And trust the process. And also,
you got dates coming up.
Funny as hell. Always got to put that in there. That he ain't no makeshift comic.
You got dates
it's
coming up.
It's the real deal.
Thank you very much.
Coming up.
Funny
June,
lady.
Thank you. June the 1st through the 3rd, the Baltimore Comedy Factory. June the 7th through the 9th, I'll be in Charlotte at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. June the 16th through the 18th, I'll be in Jacksonville at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville. June the 23rd, I'll be at the Orleans Arena in Vegas. And June the 24th, I'll be at the Arena Theater in Houston, Texas.
You a full June.
Yeah, we
try. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
We just try to work. We try to do the best we can. I do have a podcast, too.
Yeah, what's it called?
Yeah, the podcast is called The Funniest Here with Dominique and Friends.
That's been going on for a while, right?
We just started, but the old one I did.
She had an old one.
Yeah, the old one I had.
Oh,
we had that dude. We didn't work. It didn't work out. I'm just saying, it just didn't work out like... We're not business partners.
So the funny is here.
Yeah, the funny is here with Dominique and Friends, and I want you guys. I want all of y'all to come on there.
A comedy pop up network, right?
Yeah, comedy pop up network. The funny is here with Dominique and Friends. So
hell yeah, man!
You have an Instagram?
I do. My Instagram is Dominique Comedy. I was trying to be slick. It's supposed to be dumb. I was, but somebody told me, you know, I know how a lot of bookworms. He's like, I was like, Dominique Comedy. He's like, no, that's Comedy. I was like, oh. So it's Dominique, Comedi. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. And on Facebook, it's Facebook Comedian. Do anybody? My nephew told me Facebook, he said they don't do Facebook. I was like, why? He's like, oh, we call Facebook the old folks home.
It is. It's older people. The
audience. That's what I feel, man. Yeah. Fucking uncles and aunts on there and shit. A lot of crybabies
on Facebook.
Yeah, the audience is different, and they're more sensitive, and they are older.
Madly sensitive. Mm-hmm. And they a lot of political views.
So my sitcom should come out on Facebook Live then.
But they called it the old folks home. I was like, you know.
That's hilarious.
He's only 18, right? He's like, nah, I don't do Facebook. That's the old folks home. Yeah. I'm like, what?
It's all Snapchat, Instagram.
Yeah, Snapchat, Instagram. Yeah, so pretty much that.
They don't even use Twitter these days, those guys.
They don't. They don't use Twitter.
Twitter's a news channel.
They're into like 6-second movies.
Yeah.
Do you know this guy right there? He's from D.C.
He's from D.C.?
We're looking for this guy.
I met this guy. Let me see the bit. I met this guy.
No name. You have no
looks
name.
Looks like
for
Tukey
him?
Williams.
He looks like
he wrote a book.
No, we do have a name. His name is.
There was no little address on that book.
His name is Larry.
Larry, he's from D.C. And we were at a store.
Cancer, and my name's Larry.
Yeah.
That was good, Lisa.
Oh, that's my favorite line from that song.
And my name is Larry.
What song is that?
Slow down. Yeah. You got to float with Aquarius. Me now. Float on.
Aquarius. Pisces.
Yeah.
Larry.
Capricorn. And my name's Charles. And I'm Charles. And but the Larry one made Larry. Me laugh all the time. Cancer. And my name's Larry. Like, ew.
Burr.
Go away.
Raw dog.
Anyway, yeah.
Hey, a little plug the date on.
Oh, yeah, Rodrigo Torres, what's up?
Got the,
Rodrigo.
Viva Los Jokes in Riverside at the Fox. That's Tuesday, June 12th. Tickets at the door, $10. Brought to you by Division 9 Gallery in Cosme, Cordova,
and
myself.
And the Young Man Podcast still going on?
Hell yeah, man. Episode 39 is up. Check it out, please.
Got the merch solo. Going still?
Yeah, man. New t-shirt merch and a new What's Up Fool podcast.
Wait, you have a new design for
your I like your cover. Shirt. Oh, the shirt is dope.
Yeah, we just got this made.
Why is that?
You're the merch guy too, right? You got rid of the old merch guy. You're the new merch guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Alex DeLarge for that. Who knows my merch guy? They went to school together. That's who knows everybody.
Need a merch guy. You got a good merch guy I can use.
We have a good people. They do good work and they're great. They're a little more expensive than other
but
places.
They do their shit done.
But if they do good work, that's
no.
Fine.
They do
that's
good
fine.
Work.
Like if you tell them, they'll tell you I need in 2 weeks. They'll give it to you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they'll.
I knew a guy that you tell him in 2 weeks that should be ready in a month. Bro, give you 2 weeks.
Yeah, these guys are not part timers or anything.
I thought you did it right away. Yeah. Well, I got swamped by Lowrider magazine.
What's that? Swamped.
Swamped.
I can't see.
Well, this guy right there, he wrote a Dominique. I mean, we were eating at some restaurant, right? We were like in the DC bad, DC starting to look good neighborhood, like in between. And this guy was
a soul food.
This guy was on
the
phone, talking on the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I went to go approach him. I went to go approach him, and actually, he was on the phone talking.
He was on the payphone.
On the payphone, just talking like that.
Payphone?
Yeah,
I have to clarify. It was a payphone.
It was a payphone. Then he told me to stop. I stopped, and then he hung up. He was praying, but he was praying on the phone.
What?
And he was praying to God.
But on the phone?
On the phone. That's what he was doing.
What was the number? Because sometimes I need to call.
Unlisted.
Okay.
It's Jesus Saves.
Jesus Saves.
But you were on the phone.
The phone said scam likely.
Process.
But he was selling his own book. I said, so I got to buy it.
$10
for his own book. His whole book was called How to Grab a Man and Make Him Your Husband.
It was basically how to get a man to do anything for you or give you whatever
so
you want.
So he had this whole process about how to get his
wife. It was for the ladies. I read it cover to cover.
I read it, man. It was cover to cover. He said, like, sometimes your man, his favorite dish might be mac and cheese. So what you got to do, or his Chinese food. So what you got to run out to his favorite restaurant that makes his food. And you bring that food over to your house. When you get to your house, you grab all your pots.
You put out some nice dishes.
Some candles.
Like you made it.
And then you get two pots and you fill them up with water. And you boil them till the water starts boiling. Then you get your food from the restaurant. You pour it in those pots And when he gets home, it'll look and smell like you cooked it.
So we into deception now.
And
it was crazy. It was like you want a new car?
That's a bad process.
Your man a massage, a shoulder rub. Tell him what a great man and provider he is. Like rub his feet, like all this stuff. And after some good lovemaking, then you just say, "How about I could really use a nice car,
Sunday
a new car."
Print company.
Oh, those are the people who do the shirts.
Sunday print. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Palma's little brother. All right.
Well, he's the other guy at Sunday Print Company.
Float on.
You got to float with me now. Float.
What's up, fool?
What's up?
Wow, man, so you're out here now in L.A. full-time?
I live in L.A. full-time. I do. I live in L.A. full-time. I'm not moving. Like, people are always like, oh, well, they'll have earthquakes. Okay, well, it was one in D.C., too, and it was one in Maryland. So everybody's having them now, so... I don't like the four seasons really anymore. And like people are always like, well, what is it with living out there? It's kind of hard to explain. You have to move here and find out. I just don't want to live on. I like living out here better than living on the East Coast. Like I'm going Saturday. I'm going to, I'm going to DC Saturday. They barbecuing and all for the holiday, but I'm going there, but I don't want to live there anymore. I like living out here. I like the sun. You know, I'm from the valley now. Nobody ever says that. I'm from the valley now.
How many people move back to their hometown or they quit comedy or whatever they did to go back to, or they just say they left LA to move to Arizona or left LA to move to Texas, but then they write up their post, I couldn't handle all that drama. Or they
what
say
drama?
Exactly, or they can't say
high rent.
Or they say I can't handle the drama between Latino comedians, or if it's a black comedian, I can't drama all that drama with urban comedians. Like
what's that?
I don't, what is that?
Because to me, like people always say that, and I know what he's talking about. They got too much drama, and I'm like, what drama is it? And it's like. My thing is, you always, wherever you go, you're going to find kindred spirits.
Yeah. No matter what.
Everybody
is not bringing it with them.
Like, they're bringing it with them. I heard like Latino comedians that try their whole heart, or Mexican-American comedians who try their whole lives to just cross over to white people so bad. Like, to write these perfect gems that you're going to cross over and kill at every white bar. You know, and then they realize that shit doesn't really work. Their excuse now is this. I never hung out with a Latino comedian because there's too much drama in the Latino community. I don't want to be considered a Latino comedian. Bro, you're Latino. I don't give a fuck where you go.
You're going to be considered in the same thing as black people.
You're going to be a fucking Mexican comedian wherever the fuck you go.
I could
conquer the world. The first thing they're going to write, Mexican comedian, Felipe Esparza.
That's his first
thing. And I accept it. I accept it
because
my whole audience is Mexican.
Yes.
I live. They pay for my bills. Thank you very much.
And you're supposed to accept it. But they always talk about the drama. And they always talk about it. I'm always like, I never see it. Because the people that I mesh with, I mesh with. I don't care who you are. Black, white, Latino. If we hit it off, we hit it off. I don't do drama, so I'm in this person and that person. And I never did like what Felipe said, and I think that helps your longevity too. All this trying to be somebody else, you are who you are, and that's the best formula in comedy. Who are you? Who you are? Who you are? Like I used to have friends. They used to always say, they told me to write my TV set.
I don't understand that.
I said, what the fuck is a TV set? Because they couldn't explain. You know, write your TV show and put it in jokes. What? I was like, okay.
Oh, they're writing the show first?
Yeah.
Trying to write a stand-up act
and
around
they would all do it. They were like, you're not going to do it. They were like, you always going against the grain. When it worked for you, I'm going to do it. And shit ain't work yet.
I remember this comedian come up to me. Right before I went up, because if Felipe can, and he was supposed to go up like two people behind me or behind me, I don't know when. And he goes, man, can I go before you, man? I'm trying out my Tonight Show set. and I said, I didn't give a fuck.
Right.
I said, go ahead. Right. But now I'm thinking back, he just basically was saying, I can't follow you.
That's pretty much what he was saying.
Because my Tonight Show I'm writing is so whack. Yeah. It is so not funny.
Yeah. And
crossover.
And if you sitting there and if somebody tell you, write this TV show set, and you sitting there with this pen trying to write this TV show set, you not trusting the process.
You're doing the process backwards.
You're doing it backwards. You know, you it's not organic. You taking the organic part out of it. And then I would go see their sets. They'd be like, I'm doing my TV show set. Come see me. I'm coming. They get up there. It's horrible. You might as well did your regular show and said, that's my TV show set. That's the way I did it. This is my TV show set.
Reveal this TV set one time.
Maybe you don't get my show, but this is my show.
I did my TV set one time. Went up on TV. Went on stage with a TV set. And I passed out remote control to everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So some
but
of
people say crazy. That like they try to make it sound like you're high and mighty with that shit. Like,
they do.
I can work out of my Comedy Central set.
Industry talk.
Bro, it's just same set we heard 10 years ago, dog.
Yeah, but that's the industry talk. But if you own that industry talk, it'll mess your head up.
They will,
fuck
man.
It will mess your head up. Throw you off your square, dude, for real.
A lot of comedians are so thrown off, like they got to write blogs.
Yeah.
Complaining about the business when they don't even have a fucking, they're not even headlining anywhere.
One of the things I had decided long ago, and I've known this to happen to comics, in this business, because of the way this business is, you got to decide that you're not going to let what's going on in this business kill you. Because it will strip you down, it'll tear your health down, and all those type of things. And I know dudes that happened to. The reality of what you're dealing with. You got to trust the process and enjoy the journey. Stick to your craft. Keep grinding. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Can I quote you, Dominique?
Yes. Keep grinding and know that you know what? I got the goods. I'm going to get where I'm going.
Yeah, man.
But because all that other stuff, you'll be crazy listening to. Because the industry, they just make up stuff to just keep you holding on. Okay, do your TV show stand up. Come on, man.
Hold on, I'm going to do my soap opera set.
Right, do your soap opera. What you call it? Do your do the Tonight Show set. Come on, man. If whatever set I do, long as I ain't cussing, if it's funny, I should be to get on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, right now, you're talking about this stuff and people like believing in one way and then quitting. I realized that if you were a good-looking person, like a handsome debonair, like a real handsome,
uh-huh,
and you were a comedian at the time when I started, you quit already by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you started off, I wanted to be a great actor. You want to be a leading role.
Yeah.
That was your only main goal.
Oh, yeah, man.
Goal.
There's a lot of
that
those
was your
stars.
Main goal.
Yes, yes.
Right? And it didn't happen to you. It happened to Bill Bellamy, but not to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It happened to somebody else, not you. And you're still in the game. That's a bitter motherfucker, man.
They be bitter.
And they're like,
they ain't do that. You got to.
But then you have ugly motherfucker like me who stuck around.
But that's me.
Waited the process.
You did. But you did it.
But it was organic.
It was organic.
Yeah.
And you did it your way. Not that you won't mix in some of the other standards that the industry say. You know, some of them are understandable and some of them you can understand. But you still got to do it your way, too. You going to be here. You ain't going nowhere. We going to be here. When you got the goods and you funny or whatever you may do, even if you don't do comedy, whatever your goal, your life's work is, you going to be here. But you got to do it your way. You got to see it for what it is. And say, you know what? And that's why you just called off all them damn dates, didn't you? That's what I'm trying to say.
And not comparing yourself
and
to other people.
You go crazy
and what
that.
You don't have and somebody else has, because it doesn't make any sense.
You go crazy.
None, Lisa.
You go crazy,
none.
Man. You're by yourself with a 40-ouncer.
Yeah.
And you got yourself a joint, and you're hanging out with a homie who ain't shit, giving you a list about who you're better than.
Yeah.
And then you go look at the improv calendar. Oh, they hire all these whack motherfuckers. I used to do that, bro. I would see who they have that week. And if it's a white, whack ass white comedian, I will call up the improv and say, yeah, man, you got a seat available. And then the seats available. Oh, so you're telling me this guy is selling out, is doing the improv, and you got 200 tickets left still. All right. Then I will go back on that page. So it was empty this week, right?
This fool said, when you're hanging out with a homie that ain't shit.
Because that's what it is,
bro. They blow your head up,
they
on
do,
it.
They
now,
do, bro.
They do.
That's the other industry.
Oh,
that's
no,
the
you don't understand, bro. A homie who ain't shit hyping you up when you're angry?
Oh, yeah. My God. No good.
Dog, where he live?
No good,
though. Oh, dude, that's the best homie to have, bro. He's happy with anything, bro. Let's go to the comedy. Fuck, I've never been there. Let's go.
So you just got to pretty much, and that's all you got to really do. Like, I always had my own mind. Like, you got your own mind. See, when you got your own mind, you can't just influence me saying anything. I'm like, that shit don't even sound right. You know what I'm saying? And people, Lisa said something too. You can't compare yourself to people. You got to thank God for your blessings. And like my grandmother would say, you got to count it all joy. Whatever it is, count it all joy. And stay off Instagram. That social media fuck you up too. You see it, a dude,
never
you
read
like,
the comments.
Oh, God. Don't ever read. I learned that in acting class. Do not read. He said he would read the comments, right? He would talk about some big actor. He was like, okay, he read an article, talk about some huge A-lister, right? He'd be like, okay, here's the article. Now listen to the comments. Oh, they would shred the person. He said, them comments, don't read them comments. He said, them comments don't matter. They behind
cut you deep. Ooh,
fuck yeah.
Because they've got time.
No mercy, though.
To write the perfect thing.
And they are bored. They're not doing anything. And they're bullies.
Like, they're heckling is all they're doing.
They're heckling. They're just bullies. They're keyboard bullies.
And they're not emotional about it at all. And you are. You know, and it's a personal attack.
It's hardcore, bro.
Yeah.
Even looking over here, I'm like, Rodrigo, hey,
she's just like, tell me what it said. Just tell me what it said.
Kula Khan, whatever his fucking name is. So what Felipe is saying is that if he was a heartthrob, he would have quit comedy a long time ago. No, motherfucker.
No.
What I'm saying is that most of the guys that got into comedy that were good looking, they were looking at stand-up comedy to be an actor
as
first. They figured they're going to be a leading role. They're going to land that sitcom like Seinfeld and be the guy that's a player.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen, bro. My focus was to be funny and make people laugh.
Yeah.
The money will come later, and it did.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I remember I told a comedian what he told me a long time ago, don't do it for the money, do it for the art. And then they're all, oh, no, that's bullshit, bro. Again.
No, but you got to do it for the art.
90% hustle, 10% talent. I was like,
you got to get it.
Because if you don't do it for the art, how do you sustain? Like,
hell
how
yeah,
you
man. Going? I don't give a fuck.
There is no money for a long time.
Oh, and it's peaks and valleys. So you be broke for the longest time. So, I mean, it's like, how do you stack?
The best line I ever heard, man, from this comedian named Greg Hahn. He goes, I used to have a corporate job where I was making six figures a year.
Oh.
He goes, he was making six figures a year, right? I was making $72,000 a year. What the fuck?
He was making like $160,000 instead of like $125,000 a year.
And he quit to do comedy?
Yeah.
He goes, I quit comedy, man. I was making,
he said $125,000 bucks. Now he's all, now I do it for $50 and two drinks and a fucking meal or something like that. But that motherfucker's funny, man.
He's funny. Greg Hahn is funny.
He goes, I used to make $7,000 a year working with $7,000 a month working in a corporate job. I haven't made that in a year. It's tough, man.
It's tough.
But you're happy because you're chasing your dream. It's like American Beauty when Kevin Spacey's like, he quits his job and then he goes
Start smoking weed.
It's like the best time of my life was when I was flipping burgers and working at that place.
A lot of the gems come out in those bad times.
Yeah,
they do.
Like you'd be like sitting down all depressed and then you come up with a great joke and at your lowest point, you're like, what the fuck? I'm going to stick around.
That's real talk.
Then you hold on to that joke like a fucking .38 Magnum in a face. You're like, oh, what the fuck is?
And you can't go because what if you quit? You might have been getting a huge break
the
tomorrow.
The next day might have been it.
Tomorrow might be it.
See, that's Hollywood talking.
Yeah,
that's the Hollywood
quit. That's the Hollywood
that's
side.
The process.
That's the process. I told you some of it is some good shit, but then a lot of it's some bullshit.
That's what keeps some people working as actors when they make one film every 3 years or 4 years, you know.
I remember this comedian killing at the summer camp. Right?
And destroying.
Gabriel Iglesias was there, right? And then this guy never kills anywhere, probably, right? But Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy was telling me that this guy kills so hard. But he goes, did he make you laugh? Fuck no. but what made you laugh? What he was saying made me laugh. What did he say? Oh man, if only Hollywood could see this set. Let me get my CP back.
That shit is hilarious.
That's funny.
Let me come bury cats and bring his fucking Boy Scout outfit, eh? But see, you're so fooled by that, you know, because I've had great stats thinking about this stat would have made me.
Yeah.
Nah, it made me nothing. It got me laid, bro. And I hung out with the same loser at the end of the show.
Even a set doesn't even, even a really great set and a person who's on the cusp of being famous, that cusp, set won't do anything. It'll get you a meeting. And you got to kill in the meeting.
See, y'all hear Lisa telling the she's shooting it straight from the hip.
Go ahead, Lisa. Kill in the meeting and then killing more meetings.
And killing more meetings.
And killing the pitch and then kill at the upfronts and you still got to be on.
That'll suck yeah, man. It's fucking like, shit up.
The moment you slip, they'll go, ooh, who are we messing with again? Yeah. Are we giving this money
come
to
on, Lisa. Come on, Lisa.
You
got
to be Kevin Hart, basically, man. Yeah. You got to be the guy that.
You got to be on, commercial ready, man.
I know people who are hilarious on stage. Off stage, they are assholes. You know, they're not even funny at all. You want to punch them in the face.
Yes, a lot of people like that.
They're hilarious on stage. They go on radio. They're fucking mummies, bro. Mm-hmm. They can't sell one fucking ticket.
Yeah.
And then that's that. But, you know, some people just, you're not cut out for this business, man. If you're not going to entertain.
A lot of people like that on radio. And I don't even get that part. Like I'll do press. You know how you do the press when you get to the scene.
They get all serious, huh?
Yeah, and they like, they like, you were such a great guest. Because, I mean, I'm like, how you going to sell any tickets if you come on here and you stiff don't talk hell. And you stiff as hell? I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Trying to give a Barbara Walters interview.
I know, man.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Get with the process.
You better get with the process or go somewhere and percolate.
I know, man. You're gonna people say like, oh, he didn't let me talk. Well, the best interview I ever heard.
Make yourself.
And I learned from this interview with Margaret Cho. Gabriel Iglesias was doing a fucking, he was doing an interview, and then Margaret Cho called in because she had to promote her show too. She didn't know what the hell we were talking about, but after every sentence, she said, Margaret Cho at the Woburn Theater.
Wow.
Margaret Cho, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. Margaret Cho will be there. And then she would mention over and over.
That's dope promoting.
So what I do now, if the interview not going great, so Felipe, I hear you're doing this, you're doing that. Well, but you didn't hear was I'm going to be performing this Friday.
Yeah. Hey, Felipe, I'm going to do that.
I cut him out, bro.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. What you haven't heard is this Friday I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv and two shows are sold out already. Well, I'm not sold out, but you know, I change it around, man. Yeah. Screw that shit.
Well, those DJs, though, especially the ones that don't have anything going, they don't know anything.
Like Man Cow from Chicago.
Yeah, they're like reading your bio and that's all they have.
I hate that.
There's no, you have to take over the show.
You do, and some of them be like, well, and maybe if it just disrespectful, like, oh, you ain't even look at my shit last night or before I came.
Give me a second.
Oh, hell no.
Well, we have Dominique here and, Dominique, so it says here, and I be wanting to say, cut the shit. It's too early in the morning to be with your butt cheeks this tight. It's too early.
They've been pronouncing your name. We got Laura right here. No, my name is Yanni.
Right. Oh, my God.
Like, sometimes I don't understand why. I'm going to tell you, comic crew, why the fuck are you spending your money on this conservative radio right here? This talk radio.
But I don't get that either.
They're our biggest. We have a lot of listeners. Yeah, but these listeners don't go to your comedy show. You ever notice that? They don't go to your comedy shows.
Yeah.
Stop wasting the money there.
But it doesn't make sense that they don't spend money with your demographic. It's like, why would I be on a hard rock radio show? Why am I on this show?
Yeah.
You know my demographic listens to R&B music. You're supposed to get every R&B, you know what I mean?
Station.
And then do the white station that we need to do one Latino station, then do one white station with the pop music.
Pop music.
But, oh, it'd be like hard rock. And I'm like, why are we even here? But okay, let's do it.
You got Dominique and the Barking Spiders.
You got a guy. Not only do you not like heavy metal, but you're there with a guy with long hair and a lazy eye now.
Good morning, Dominique.
She knows what I'm talking about.
You're
a rock out to the show. But why are we having guests here? You guys have never seen them. I've never seen them. Our listeners don't watch BET. BET, right? It's the black station. Ha, ha, ha. They throw a little stereotypical black joke and they bring you on.
Came in like a wrecking ball.
Somebody's going to thrill them with their gags and their anecdotes.
Like, said gags.
It's just like nuts. So I don't know why they do that, but that's what they do.
Oh, how about you're working with an owner or promoter, mm-hmm. and he finds out there's like some function somewhere where our people is at. Well, I'm just for real.
Said function.
Yeah. I'm just saying black people because there might be a lot of Mexicans over there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember one time I was working at this club in Chicago, and the guy that was working there, he found out there's a swap meet with a lot of Mexicans are at. He go, how about we just go over there and walk around and people recognize you? You tell them there would be a show. They say, nah, man, I ain't gonna do that shit, though.
They say do that, though. Like, I know a lot of comics, though.
If they ain't planning, I ain't going.
A lot of comics, they go in the city early just to go to the mall and to do all those kinds of things, just to walk around and talk to the audience.
Get some phone numbers.
Yeah, that's what they're going for.
Felipe said, I ain't doing this shit, man.
What's up, fool? We got the new What's Up, Fool podcast t-shirt.
They are dope.
They're going for $30. All the money goes for a fundraiser. Rodrigo got the purple one. Yeah. Yeah, what's up, fool podcast?
Let's get it in the light.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
One more time, where people can find you on Instagram?
They can find me at Dominique Comedie, C-O-M-E-D-I. My first name is spelled D-O-M-I-N-I-Q-U-E. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram. And at the old folks home, Facebook, Dominique Comedian. And check out my podcast. This is great. I had a good time.
What's your podcast again for?
The Funniest Here with Dominique and Friends.
Don't forget, we have a listener here that he follows our podcast. And he's recovering alcoholic and recovering drunk.
Okay.
And he draws us to help him with recovery.
Oh, that's dope.
Mario, right?
Yeah,
he's a recovering alcoholic.
Is he?
I didn't know that.
I thought he was.
I didn't know that either.
Mario,
I didn't know that. That's funny, man.
I didn't think he was.
12-step process.
I don't know how I started listening. I got into following stories of tea to the motherfucking K.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Right. So I started following him.
Who raised you? I followed
him right to what he done, right? He's been in the game a long ass time.
Yeah, about 30-something years, though.
He said that fool's talking about, yeah, man, I was kicking it with Eddie Murphy on the set of Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
And then
84, right?
But then I went to his page, and guess who the first guy? I've been following you for a while. It was Mario, bro.
Oh!
The guy who draws us.
Mario Cruz.
Mario Cruz.
Podcast listeners listen to a lot of podcasts. So now go listen to everybody. Go listen to Dominique's podcast. Go tell her what's up. Tell her I heard you in the What's Up Fool podcast.
That's right.
Tell her the What's Up Fool podcast family sent you there.
Thank you. And I want y'all to come on my podcast, but I want all y'all to come.
Hell yeah.
Because I like y'all together.
You got enough mics?
I won't come.
Yeah, we do. Lisa, why won't you come? Because I like how Lisa chimes in. Like Lisa said, but no. You have to go to one meeting. Then you pitch in another meeting.
It's a lot of meetings.
It's a lot of meetings.
You know what I'm saying? You want the manager up there and shit, dropping the fucking P's and Q's.
Yeah.
Cocksuckers. Dominique.
Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dominique.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Oh, yeah, man. That was fun.